This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Candy, and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN bad analyst.
Fresh and clean.
So fresh.
Am I fresh and clean?
Oh, you're good. Oh, I love that tie today.
Yeah.
Looking like a Yankee.
Did I see Joe Fortenbaugh with Colin and Joe this week wear a vest to do radio? Did I see that? Did that happen this week?
He loves a vest.
We can find out right now.
He loves the vest with no jacket. That is a signature look for Joe Fortenbaugh.
12 p to 3 p Eastern here on ESPN Radio.
My wife tells me to look out for guys that wear the vest with no jacket.
Does she?
Yeah, she does. She thinks it's very suspect.
Joe?
She's a smart one.
Very shady.
He's
a smart one. So you're co-signing that, Smalls.
Well, I don't know. Joe Fortenbaugh, what do you have to say about this vest?
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you guys, as always.
Yeah.
Hell of a way to start this show. I'll say this. that me wearing the suit on radio is nothing more than not having enough time to make the transition over to TV afterwards. That's it. It's strictly convenience, because what has happened as I start to learn my way around Bristol, and I'm not there yet, I'll be moving there next week, is that people have gotten uncomfortable with the idea of me leaving radio, going all the way up to DC2, which is the building with all the TV studios, and I park my car out there, and I've been changing in the parking lot. Quick change. Mm. Changing out of my clothes, putting on the suit in the lot, and then I come in. Frowned upon at Disney. People don't want you getting halfway butt naked out there to get changed in 30-degree temperatures. So I just put the suit on before radio. Nothing suspect about it, but lots of suspect activity apparently happening out in that parking lot.
You know, let me ask you one other follow-up.
Hey, you asked, okay? You asked, pal.
One other follow-up on your life. Did I hear you and your wife had beef over the Eagles-Bills game? Is that correct this past
weekend? No. That's the thing. No beef. So many people think there's beef. She's Bills Mafia. She's born and raised outside Buffalo. I was born and raised an hour north of Philadelphia, so I'm an Eagles fan. We handle this very well. And they had the game last week, and we have two young boys, 6 and 4, and they tend to root for both teams. And in this household, that's okay. I'm not telling them to root against Buffalo. They're a fun team. And she's not telling them to root against the Eagles. So when they play, I'll keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to cause any problems. They were all very supportive. That whole side of the family was very supportive when the Eagles won the Super Bowl a few years back. I would like to be able to return that favor, assuming it's not against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I think that's fair.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure about this. All right. Let's get into some of the picks in the games this weekend. Joe, we've been starting off every conversation every week with the interim coach bump theme. It works. It's something that has proven to actually be true over the course of time. Are we willing to go there with the Carolina Panthers this weekend? +5 on the road at Tampa after Frank Reich was fired.
Market certainly is. This game was sitting 6 and got bet down to 5.5, and that's not the public deciding that they suddenly want to get behind the Panthers, right? No one in the public's going to look at that game and play Carolina. So yeah, I think there's something to this. Two key reasons. Number one, let's look at Tampa Bay. They've been a favorite in only 3 of 11 games this year, and never more than 3 points. Now all of a sudden they're laying 5.5. Now, it is Carolina, don't get me wrong, but this is kind of uncharted territory for a team that hasn't played very well this year. On top of that, we have seen with the dead coach bounce, Carolina went through this last year. They got rid of Matt Rhule. Steve Wilks did a really good job with that team. They went 6-6 under Wilks over the final 12 games. So they've shown the ability to be resilient before. And then on top of that, if you go back to last year when Reich was run out of Indianapolis, Jeff Saturday took over. And as a 4.5-point dog, they immediately went to the Raiders here in Las Vegas and won that game outright. So we've seen it happen post-Reich firing. We've seen it happen in a post-Carolina firing. And then we saw it with the Raiders earlier this year when they got rid of McDaniels and played well that following week. So, yeah, I'd be looking to Carolina here. Great question. Very rare great question from Evan Cohen.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Joe, once we get to this time of the year, the games that I like to actually get some action on are the ones where both teams are actually playing for something. And I guess that the perfect example of that would be the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. This is a de facto playoff elimination game. Now, it was at 3.5 yesterday in the Texans' favor. I think it's been bet down to 3 now in some places. How do you see that game? What's your read and what's the play?
Fascinating game here, because a lot of times we get caught up with the Philadelphias, the San Franciscos, the Dallases. This is a great matchup. Two teams that are playing really good football, two teams that are trending in the right direction. So we saw it go to 3.5, which is big because we talk about that key number of 3. And then eventually the Denver money came in. That was yesterday. So that moved it back to 3. I would love to give you a play here. I have not figured it out yet. On one hand, I really like what Houston has done this year. I believe they're 3-1 coming off a loss this season. They perform well in that spot. They're well coached. They're resilient. But now you're starting to lay significant points against good teams. You know, Denver's been playing with fire in some of these matchups, but they're finding ways to win games. They're scoring on offense. Russell Wilson, 20 TDs to 4 INTs, career high completion percentage, 68%. You know, he's not out there slinging the ball all over the field like Joe Burrow would, but he's very efficient. And then on top of that, the Denver defense gets better each and every week. So haven't done anything yet. Slight lean to Denver with the points because it feels like more of a toss-up, but I don't know if I'm going to get there.
Joe, you said some people are caught up in the San Francisco-Philly game. That's me. That's where I'm caught up. I can't understand how San Francisco is favored to win this game. I think our FPI has them at a 55% chance on the road in Philly. What's the play here? How do you view this one?
So this is all about situational handicapping. So I think, Smalls, your sentiments about this game and the spread, I think a lot of people are looking at this saying, how is 10-1 Philadelphia catching points at home, catching this many points at home? Let's look at the spot. San Francisco's got 10 days to get ready for this game. They played last Thursday. They beat up on Seattle. They're rested. They're healthy. Canty can tell you all about what the extra rest is like. Conversely, Philadelphia is in a very different situation. They play a Monday night game against Kansas City where they lay it all on the line. Following week, it's a short turnaround against Buffalo. It goes overtime. Orlovsky was talking about this yesterday. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if I have the number exactly right, but I believe he said the Eagles were on the field for 92 plays in that game, which is the most of any team in the NFL this season. So a Monday night game at Arrowhead, followed by that many plays in overtime against Buffalo, followed by San Francisco. That is a really tough spot to show up, especially for a team that's 7-1 in one-score games and has been playing with fire. Market is sitting 3 across the board. That's where we've seen Eagle money is at 3. I don't know if it goes to 3.5, but if you like the Niners, you probably have to find a way to do better than 3, and I don't know if that opportunity is out there. I do lead in the San Francisco at 2.5 or better, but again, not a huge play for me.
Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN Bet analyst, co-host Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern time, ESPN Radio, ESPN Bet live, weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, joins us here on Sportsmanlike, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joe, when we think about college football this weekend, we think about all of the different possibilities. You did some homework. I give you credit on this. And you actually went out there and talked to people about hypothetical matchups involving FSU if they were to make it. Can you walk us through what you learned and why that may influence your picks this weekend?
Ed Sammons is a good friend of mine. He's one of the bookmakers at the Westgate here in Las Vegas. Very sharp book. They've done a great job. They originate lines. They're not just copying a sports book's lines that are put up and then they post them. They sit down, they put the work in themselves. So I reached out to him this week and I said, Ed, can I get hypotheticals on these 4 matchups? Now, here's something to keep in mind. I'm going to give you these numbers of 4 teams against Florida State and what he would make it. But that's what he would make it right now, okay? Because, for example, I'll give you this one. He's got Alabama minus 10 over Florida State. Now, if Alabama beats Georgia this weekend, it's not going to be minus 10 next week. It's going to be bigger than that because we have a new data point where Alabama beat Georgia. So keep that in mind. These are numbers based on where we stand right now. He's got Georgia minus 14 over Florida State. 14. Michigan minus 13 over Florida State, Alabama minus 10, Oregon as well, minus 10 over Florida State. The point of this exercise for me was to show that while Florida State is very deserving because they're currently undefeated and they could be a Power 5 conference champion with an undefeated record, if we're talking about the 4 best teams in the country, they are not one of the 4 best teams. And that's always the argument. Best teams versus most deserving. If Florida State gets in after beating Louisville and they're the most deserving, I understand. That criteria checks the boxes. But don't get upset if they get rolled in the first game, because in the eyes of Vegas, this Florida State team without their starting quarterback doesn't match up to the other power teams.
Joe, the Chiefs are on the road in Lambeau Field. Pat Mahomes' first visit to the historic Lambeau Field. Now, they've looked vulnerable over their last couple of ball games, and conversely, Green Bay feels like they're getting hot at the right time. 1-2 straight, 3 out of 4. The Chiefs are laying 6 points in this spot. How do you read this game?
I look to Green Bay here. A couple things I want to bring up. Number one, it looks like it's going to be 25 degrees for this game at Lambeau. So cold game, total sitting at 42. That's a relatively low total. So you're telling me in what could be a low-scoring game, I can have 6 points with the home team. That's intriguing. On top of that, Kansas City, as good as they've been this year, they're not necessarily blowing people out like we've seen in the past. They're very good in the first half when it comes to scoring, but they're one of the worst in the NFL in the second half. They tend to throttle back if they have a big lead. They run the ball. They try to get the hell out of there. On top of that, look at what we've seen from Green Bay the last few weeks. Signs of life. Offense is getting better. But you got to ask yourself, that performance against Detroit, how much of that was that lousy Lions defense, and how much of it is Green Bay taking steps in the right direction? Probably a little bit of both. I find myself wanting the points with the Packers.
Joe, my friend, it's that time of the conversation. What's our wink-wink play of the weekend?
Okay, so I got a lot of college stuff here I like. For example, I like the under in Oregon-Washington tonight. Washington's offense hasn't been the same. First 6 weeks of the season, 44 points per game. Last 6 weeks of the season, 31 points per game. Oregon's defense has been better. Hint on this one. If you like Oregon to win, you should probably play Bo Nix to win the Heisman right now. He's right around minus 180 to minus 200. They win that game tonight, those prices aren't going to exist come tomorrow morning. Wink, wink, game of the week. The official wink, wink, game of the week is a very specific play. Texas to score over 34.5 points in tomorrow's Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma State. Why? We're just going to play their team total, so we're going to bet them to score 35 or more points. Texas is the first game out tomorrow morning. They're before Georgia and Alabama. They're before Michigan and Iowa. They're before Florida State and Louisville. They have no idea what's going to happen behind them. All they can do is the best to impress the committee with their game. So I think they're going to run up the score here. I don't think they can throttle back. They got to put up as many points as humanly possible. Oklahoma State's probably going to be a willing participant in that, let's be honest, with the way they played defense in a few games this season. Wink, wink, game of the week. Texas team total over 34.5 points.
I'm pretty disappointed in you with that one. I got to be honest with you. That's too obvious of a game. You should have gone with New Mexico State and Liberty. Normally, the games that we see you pick for the wink, wink games are the ones that nobody is actually talking about. People are talking about that game. That game's going to be on ABC tomorrow at noon Eastern, Joe. I'm very disappointed in that pick by you.
Well, let me ask you something. Do we have the standard 60 games this week, or do we have five games this week?
Well, that's why I'm saying the one you should have picked was New Mexico State and Liberty. Obviously, your winking is not working. You may need glasses.
I could give you Boise minus the 2.5 over UNLV if you like that. Boise, since they fired Andy Avalos, the locker room has come right back together. They look fantastic. You can go ahead and you can lay the 2.5 there. I don't know what you want me to do. Make games up. I mean, what is this?
Miami of Ohio against Toledo. That feels more wink, wink.
Maction.
Maction. More. That's what CC bets on now. He has the Maction on ESPN Bet on Tuesdays during the season. Joe, thank you so much. Have a good show today at noon Eastern.
Always a pleasure, everybody. Thanks for having me on. You guys are killing it.
All right, there's Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN Bet at 6 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. And then, of course, he's got Carlin versus Joe, or before then, Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern. That was too obvious of a game, right? The wink game is a game that nobody's actually talking about.
But in Joe's defense, like he said, we don't have the normal slate of games.
Exactly.
But then he gave you other games. That shows you he didn't really work hard enough for this show.
Wow.
Just saying. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Bowl season is looming. Tune in tonight for the Pac-12 Championship game presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Just a phenomenal weekend of football upcoming with all the college football championship games starting tonight with Washington and Oregon, of course, and then tomorrow with a big one in Alabama and Georgia, and then going into Sunday where you got San Francisco and Philadelphia. But it really got going last night with Dallas's win 41-35 over the Seattle Seahawks, 14 games in a row at home for the Cowboys. Seattle now riding a three-game losing streak, potentially could be on the outside looking in of the postseason. When you think about the NFC wild card with Minnesota, Green Bay is in the mix as well now, playing much better. Obviously, they have the Chiefs this weekend, but then after that, a relatively easy schedule. And Dak Prescott, guys, is now right in the mix, along with Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes and Tua, for the MVP after another good performance last night, three touchdowns and a game-winning drive, down 5 points in the fourth quarter at home.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Dak is playing phenomenal football right now. I mean, the throw that he had to CeeDee Lamb, the touchdown in the red zone, that's teach tape for young quarterbacks. They teach you in the red zone, helmet or higher to your receivers, because you don't want to throw it into traffic. You don't want to throw it in the teeth of the defense. Put it in a place where only your guy has a chance to make a play on it. And CeeDee Lamb, of course, being an all-pro receiver, did that. But I think Dak showed a conscious effort to feed number 88 early and often, and that's a part of being a good quarterback. But he also recognized opportunities to get the ball to his other playmakers. Jake Ferguson on the go-ahead drive that they had in the fourth quarter. Brandon Cook showed up several times in last night's ball game. So I think Dak Prescott is spreading the wealth, and he's seeing the entire field. There were countless occasions last night where Kirk Herbstreit was breaking it down and talking about how Dak, when his first and second read and his progression were gone, he would go to the opposite side of the formation, the opposite side of the field. And that's when you know that it's next-level quarterback play. And so that is a welcome sign for Cowboys fans in terms of what the potential ceiling for this team might be. But I also think about what's going on with the game management aspect of his balls. And last night, Mike McCarthy showed up in not the most flattering of ways. And so I think that would be the one thing that holds me back from calling the Cowboys a true contender right there with the likes of the Eagles and the 49ers in the NFC.
The thing that's holding me back is I feel like even though the Seattle Seahawks are a good team, I haven't seen the Dallas Cowboys beat a great team yet. I haven't seen them beat a San Francisco 49ers. I haven't seen them beat a Philadelphia Eagles yet, which they'll have the opportunity to do next weekend. And you're right, Dak's playing like an MVP. He's playing probably the best football that we've ever seen him play. He's accurate. He is taking care of the football. I think he's had two turnovers in the past seven games, I believe it is. He seems so confident in himself, so comfortable in his skin. This is the gear that we always wanted to see from Dak Prescott. But this MVP conversation, does it stop in its tracks next week if they lose to the Eagles?
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, he's got to beat Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the favorite right now. I think he's got the shortest odds at plus 160. And then Dak Prescott is like, what, plus 450, something like that. Pat Mahomes is plus 400. So Dak is third, Mahomes is second. Jalen Hurts by far and away is number one. So in order to close the gap, if you're Dak, you got to win head-to-head against the Eagles. And listen, I'm not saying he's got to win the division, but the NFC East division crown has to come down to week 18, because the last time we saw a non-division winner win the MVP, I think, was Adrian Peterson in 2012. So, I mean, like that just shows to show you have to go above and beyond if you don't win the division to win the MVP. But if you are in the mix to win your division and you have the kind of numbers that Dak is putting up and your team has the flashy record with double-digit wins, then you've got a shot. And that's what ESPN Bet is telling us right now, that Dak Prescott has a really good chance at winning MVP. I don't know that we've ever had this conversation around Dak Prescott.
He's going to finish the season most likely with a 4-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. He has 26.
That's Rodgers territory.
Yeah,
that's Aaron Rodgers territory.
He has 26 touchdowns now and 6 interceptions. So he has 5 games left, right? 9-3, 5 games left.
No.
How many touchdowns do you think he's going to have in those 5 games? Just blindly, what would you say?
Ooh, I would probably say I'd put the bar at 10.
Okay, so let's put him at 36. And how many picks?
I don't know. Let's say 2 or 3, yeah.
So that's 36 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Exactly 4-1.
That's a good season.
That's a heck of a season. How many QB – not whether or not he's the MVP, right? Because I think we're going to say that next week is really dependent on that. But how many QBs would you say right now in the NFL are definitively playing better football currently, not career, not in the future, currently than Dak Prescott?
Jalen Hurts, right?
I would agree with
that. Putting him in that conversation.
I would agree with that, yeah. Dan Orlovsky would argue Josh Allen.
I can't go there.
How?
Brock Purdy.
Mahomes, but he's had, I mean, I have to pull it up. How many turnovers has Mahomes had?
Yeah,
no,
yeah. It's not a very long list. It's not a very long list. Like, Dak is, you know,
so worst case scenario,
top three,
five.
Top four. No, better than that. Top three, top four. I mean, he's right there 1 and 2 with Brock Purdy and QBR overall this season. Like, I mean, they're right there. So, I mean, again, Dak is playing really, really good football. But is that going to be enough for this Cowboys team to win a championship? And what I would argue, in spite of Mike McCarthy. Now, Mike McCarthy is great when it comes to X's and O's and play design, but that was never the question coming into the season. The question was, would he be able to take on the play calling duties and also wear the hat of being a head coach and managing the game? And last night, I can't say he did a great job of that. I mean, they were 4-8 in the red zone. The first drive, they've got goal to go inside the 10. They're on their 3-yard line, if I'm not mistaken, Smalls, with first down and had to settle for a field goal. Same thing happened in the last drive at the end of the first half. They had goal to go, had to settle for a field goal. I mean, at the end of the game, you get the ball back with 3 minutes left. Seattle doesn't have a timeout, and you can't run the clock out. And to make matters worse, on third down in the red zone on that possession, you throw a pass rather than run the football and eat up 40 seconds of play of game clock with the play clock and kick a field goal, go up 6. You could be in a situation where you give the ball back to the Seahawks with less than a minute to go, and they've got to drive the length of the field. Instead, you throw an incompletion, you leave 2 minutes on the clock, you give them the ball back with a minute 45. That's just not smart. You know, so there are some things that happen in the games that you just can't explain other than to say it's a gaffe by the head coach, and that's what makes it hard for me to trust the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to the other championship contenders in the conference. Think about this. From a talent standpoint, with the Eagles, the 49ers, and the Dallas Cowboys, we are splitting hairs when it comes to talent. We are split. I mean, talent is all about the same. Quarterback play is all about the same. Like, they're all really, really good. Mm-hmm. So what ends up being the difference? Coaching. I mean, out of the three coaches that we're talking about with those three teams, who's the coach that you have the least confidence in? I think the easy answer is Mike McCarthy.
Not for me, it's not.
What are you going to say, Sirianni?
He's going to say Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan is proven. I love Kyle Shanahan, but he's proven in big games to be worse than any of the other two. Kyle Shanahan.
How do you say that when Kyle Shanahan beat Mike McCarthy in back-to-back playoff games?
He was the offensive coordinator in 28-3, and the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, they blew a lead. I'm just saying, it's fact.
He blew a lead because Jimmy Garoppolo can't throw the ball to Emmanuel Sanders wide open? He blew the lead?
They blew the lead. I'm just saying, I don't know that any of them are the ones that you're like, oh my God, this guy can't miss.
I don't understand. That's the part I can't agree with. Like you said, I don't, Kyle Shanahan, I don't trust him in big games. And he literally, in the last big games with the 49ers and the Cowboys with McCarthy matched up, he beat them twice.
I do. There's a big difference between I can't trust him and looking at, I picked him to win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Okay. So I do have faith in him. What I'm saying is, if we are going to fairly point out Mike McCarthy's flaws,
yep.
I think we also have to fairly point out that Shanahan hasn't been perfect.
No coach is perfect. Andy Reid ain't perfect.
I understand, but these are three coaches.
But when we talking about who do we trust more now based on the information we have over the last 3 years, if I'm power ranking the trust meter or the confidence meter in those three coaches, it's going to go probably Nick Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan, and then Mike McCarthy.
Here's what's funny, and Pat Costello can chime in on this. Our producer is an Eagles fan. I don't think the Eagles fan actually trusts Nick Sirianni. I think they should, but I don't think they do. I really don't think they do. Do you, Pat?
You are 100% correct. There is like a nervous feeling with all Eagles fans about Nick Sirianni.
I think what we've...
Why?
I'm telling you, there's a nervous feeling with all three of these guys.
I'm just curious, Pat. Why?
It's unexplainable.
Okay, okay.
I was just trying
to figure out the logic because
is there one thing in specifically that you would point to for that? Because I know that Eagles fans feel that way. I just am wondering why as well.
The history of being a Philadelphia fan leads us to believe everything's going to go wrong all
that's
the time.
That's what it is. It's not anything Sirianni is doing. I'm about to say, if the Eagles win this weekend.
But they don't trust
Listen, if they win this weekend, this would be the first team to go back-to-back 11-1 starts since the 72-73 Dolphins. That's the only reason Pat is saying he doesn't trust Sirianni is because the Eagles have a long history of being hurt. They have a long history of being let down by their team and by
their
coaches.
They won a Super Bowl a few years ago.
I know, but they
still don't trust it. What are you guys talking about? They've been let. They won a Super Bowl, 3 years ago?
I know. It's almost, they talk like it's the Jets.
They're the Cleveland Browns or the Buffalo Bills.
I'm over the Eagles fans.
Like, relax.
I am over the Eagles fans not trusting their coach.
Really
you were
good.
Just in the Super Bowl, and you have the best record in the league.
Yeah, things have been going too well. Everything's going to come crashing down.
By the way, quick note. We talked about Dak's stats and as it relates to others, the more you dive into it, the better it is. He actually leads the league now in QBR. He has surpassed Brock Purdy. He leads the league in touchdown passes as well. He has had one heck of a season. Doesn't mean he's going to win in the MVP. He has had one heck of a season so far. We've had one heck of a season in picking games against our other ESPN radio shows. We are closing in on maybe winning it all.
Why jinx it? Why jinx it?
Was I have to tease why the next segment?
Why jinx it?
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN radio.
Why jinx it?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio's Pick'em Challenge.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Each and every week we pick games. Yeah, whatever, that's kind of interesting. What's really interesting is going up against our teammates and trying to win and the other shows. And we're getting close. We're getting close. We're two games back of the lead. Carlin versus Joe, 24-11-2. Unsportsmanlike, 22-13-2. Tied with Freddie and Harry. Had a game night at 21-14-2. Amber and Ian, 15-20-2. And Graney, 11-24-2.
Hey, come on. He's tanking for Caleb Williams. Let the man live.
All right. 11-24-2. You have to try to be that bad.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. He's tanking, right? He's got to be tanking this for some reason.
Oh, my gosh.
That's bad.
I guess he just wants to be in misery with his picks like the Jets season, right?
Oh.
Just losing every week after week.
And his coughs that are just awful when he came on the air the other day.
You know what? We were funny, and then you just said that and took it too far.
His coughs.
He took it too far.
I don't think so.
We were good, and he just...
Do you want to hear the coughs?
No, I don't want to hear the coughs.
They're so good.
No.
Greeny coughs.
No.
All right, we got three games this weekend. Broncos at Texans is where we start.
Oh, the music. There we go.
Texans favored by 3.5 at home against Denver.
See, I struggle when we have Joe Fortenbaugh on before we make the picks because I go back to the stuff that he talks about.
I agree.
And it's just like I want to buy into the information, but I can't tell if he's doing our audience a service or trying to set us up for failure. I don't know. But here's what I will say. I want to pick the Houston Texans in this spot.
Me too.
But being in a position when you're a favorite in December, there's new learning that comes along with the change in the style of football around the National Football League. And that's why I'm going to go with the hook in the 3.5 for the Denver Broncos. Here's the thing, man. Like, the Denver Broncos, D, they've had four straight games with at least three takeaways, and they've created 15 turnovers during that span. Extra possessions, field position, that's been the formula for Denver, and it's less of letting Russ cook and more of Javonte Williams pounding the rock. And I think that style is something that lends itself to winning this time of year. So I like Denver. I can't believe I'm saying this because I love the Texans. I think they're going to make the playoffs. But I actually like Denver in this spot with the 3.5 points.
Texans 4-2 at home.
I know. I like Denver with the 3.5 points. That hook, that half a point, to me, it makes a difference. I mean, because think about this. Even if the Texans win, I don't think it'll be a blowout. And so if it's going to be a close game, if it's going to be a – I could see it being a field goal game. In that case, we would still win because we got the hook. We got the half a point.
Okay. Evan.
Denver. Definitely Denver.
Okay.
I picked Denver. +3.5 on the road. They won 5 games in a row. I think their quarterback will not make mistakes, and their coach is excellent. I also think the other team's coach is excellent, and their quarterback's really good. C.J. Stroud is a rookie. It is more likely, just based on logic, that if one quarterback makes a drastic mistake, it'll be the one that has not played in the league for a decade. That's not an insult on him. That is just a fact. That's the way that the sport goes.
Which way were you? So you were leaning toward the Texans. Tell me why, Smalls.
Because I just have more confidence in C.J. Stroud and the way that he's been playing it, and I have more confidence in the Texans at home. I know that Denver.
You're right. All
things being equal, the quarterback. Also, shout out to Denver for winning 5 consecutive games. I also feel like they're due for a loss.
That's a great point. You can't stay hot that long. That's staying hot a really long time.
And Russ is playing good, not making mistakes. I wonder if we're going to see that be upended.
But I think we can live in a world where the Texans win and yet the Broncos still cover. I think that's a possibility.
Okay.
Because the Broncos play close games.
Also, remember, when you're talking about a quarterback making mistakes, when they don't allow him to do the things to actually put himself in position to make mistakes, it's harder to make mistakes.
Sure.
The Bills allow Josh Allen to make mistakes because of the plays they call. Sean Payton has completely pared down that offense in order to put Russell Wilson in an almost impossible position to make mistakes with his already established talent and smarts that he has, even if he's not the same player that he once was. All right, next game. The game of the weekend in the NFL, the 49ers at the Eagles. Niners favored by 3 on the road at Philadelphia. I do feel like, guys, that Vegas is just baiting you into taking the Eagles, of course. They're a home dog, and they're the best team record-wise in the league.
I know. This one's so confusing.
And I'm biting on the bait. I'm taking the bait. Like a big-mouth bass, I'm all over the bait. Jalen Hurts has won 14 straight games against teams that came in with a winning record. Like, that's the longest streak since 1950, since they started tracking the damn thing. I mean, listen, the 49ers, they've won 7 of their 8 games by double digits, but they're 1-2 in one-score games. This is going to be a closely contested game, and in that situation, give me the Eagles because they're 7-1 in one-score games this season. I just trust them in a big spot against a good team in a close game. They will find a way to win. Give me Philadelphia all day, every day.
After the fisherman reels up Canty, he's going to cast it right back in, and I'm biting too. I know that Vegas wins for a reason. I know that this feels like maybe this is too easy of a pick, but I'm also not going to not take it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to take Philly.
Yeah, and I would take San Francisco if it was solely up to me, but obviously it doesn't matter. I'm overruled. I do think that San Francisco is going to win this game. I think Philly has been kind of trending for a loss. This feels like the one. Chiefs -6 at the Packers. Smalls has already said that she thinks the Packers are going to win this game.
I like the Packers plus the points. I do. I like the Packers plus the points. Now, I don't think the Packers are going to win, but like Joe said, I mean, the over-under for this game and point total is 42, and the home team is getting 6 points. Like, it just feels like a spot where, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs might win, but they'll win by 3. You know, it'll be that kind of situation. Now, I will say this. The Packers have taken care of the football the last 2 games that they've won. The previous 9 games, they've got a 3-6 record with 12 turnovers. So that concerns me against a really good Kansas City D. And Spags is going to confuse Jordan Love to some degree, pre-snap with the looks that he's going to present. But I still believe in the way that Jordan Love and this Packers team is playing. But I also believe in how the Packers D has been playing, a sneaky underrated part of this recent turnaround over the last 4 games. So I'll take the Packers in the points. Thank you, please.
I like the Packers too. I said it earlier in the show. I like the Packers. I like the points. I think we go with Green Bay.
Let me tell you what's going to happen here, ladies and gentlemen, even though I've already overruled. Kansas City's going to blow out Green Bay this weekend by 10 points or more. We're going to forget about Green Bay as a playoff contender for a week and a half. They're going to beat the Giants on Monday Night Football coming up, and then they're going to beat the Bucks. And then we're going to realize, wait a minute, the Packers are right back in it as a playoff contender. They then have the Panthers on the road, and that game at the Vikings on New Year's Eve on Sunday Night Football is going to be a game, or I think it's on whatever New Year's Eve is. I don't know what day of the week it is. But whatever that is, then we're going to be right back in as, oh, wow, that's a big game. That's a playoff seeding or playoff spot game. Packers get blown out. We forget they exist. 2 weeks from now, we have the same conversation we had this week about the Packers then.
You know what? I'm doing it. I'm Smalls.
Are
I hate
flipping?
To do it. I'm doing it. I'm flipping. I'm flipping. I'm floundering. Like, I mean, the fisherman reeled me in, and I'm flopping on the deck. Like, that's what's happening right now. Because Ev can't be wrong about both of them. And I got to make a decision. He's not going to be wrong about both the Eagles 49ers, and he's not going to be wrong about the Chiefs.
I very well could be.
No,
I
he's not going to be wrong about both of them.
Listen,
I told you, he is the Rain Man of sports radio. He's not going to be wrong about both of them.
Okay.
So we've got to figure out which one do we think he has a better chance of being right about. Kansas City blowing out Green Bay or the 49ers covering the 3 points in Philadelphia?
Let me just say this, Smalls.
Okay.
I know how CC works now, okay? I see the way his brain works. What hooked him in just now was the multi-week storyline I gave him. That's what – if I just said, I think Kansas City's going to blow him out, he wouldn't have been in. Yeah. But when I gave him the multi-week storyline of – well, if Kansas City blows out the Packers, we're not talking about the Packers next week. We go back into Kansas City. But then their schedule is so weak that they come back to the conversation.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're taking the Chiefs and we're laying the six. He's right. Vegas wants us to take the Packers in the six. We're not doing it.
Nope.
We're taking the Chiefs. We're laying the six. We're doing it.
And you could also still say, Smalls, the Packers are good. The Packers are going to end up being good. This game, this is the one. Didn't we do something this week, real or fake playoff chances or your playoff chances? And we all said, like, we said with the Packers, postpone the conversation.
Yeah.
Because we can't, like, they're playing the Chiefs. But then look at what they're doing.
Listen,
I'm telling you.
I am not going to argue with you guys if you want to take the Kansas City Chiefs. However, if we come in Monday and the Packers have won the game.
Veto. Yeah. Tommy DeVito?
Wait, CeCe. Make this decision right now. I don't want this held against me because I...
It will be.
No, because I started it by saying,
you
I know I'm
me.
Overruled.
Hold on. You convinced me.
But I started by saying I was already overruled.
And if we're wrong, you want me to not hold it against you?
Correct.
No. I can't agree
so
with
this
that.
So this is an Evco can't win game is
exactly,
what it is.
Exactly. You're like the Dallas Cowboys now.
I feel badly for me, too. We have our unsportsmanlike moment of the day coming up. But first, CeCe has this from Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for the Unsportsmanlike Moment of the Day here on Unsportsmanlike. with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, presented by Progressive Insurance. So
it's your song, Evan.
What?
It's your song.
Oh, this is the Jack Harlow song?
Yeah.
Oh, but you barely can hear it. Yeah, like I like it with the words. We'll do the now that we have Rob
Did
in the mix.
Did you know this real quick? On Sportsmanlike Moment of the Day nominee, the makeup room is calling Evan Vanilla Baby. Because he likes the Jack Harlow song.
Yeah.
And he starts it out saying, I'm Vanilla Baby.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not why they call me that. They just think I'm cool.
Mm. Is that why?
I can't even say that with a straight face.
I'm going to hit them with the no comment on that.
I can't
no
even comment. Say it with a straight face. But no we're going to have to do a remix of that on TikTok or Instagram or something. Now that Rob is in the mix on our digital side and social, we're going to have some of that.
Okay.
So we're going to get going. I don't know that you're going to want to be a part of it, Cece. I don't think Smalls wants to be a part of it. I think I'll be alone on that one. But anyway, I love, as you two know, and our producing team knows, I love when there's surprises on the air, when things happen out of nowhere where we don't know what's coming. Not everybody loves that all the time. This is something I got to be honest. I have no idea what's about to happen here because all I was told was that there's a moment today from Get Up on ESPN with Chris Canty that we have to see and hear.
It's just here.
Let's hear. Okay, go ahead.
So I was walking by the TV and I saw our good buddy Canty on at the very end of his Get Up segment, and I'm listening as Greeny begins to wrap the segment up, and I got incredibly frustrated with Chris Canty when this happened.
I have to let Chris go. Unsportsmanlike ESPN radio.
Great in the red zone. They're 4 of 8 in the red zone yesterday.
That's 50%.
This argument will.
That's good.
That's high in the red zone.
Here's why that's frustrating.
He's promoting the show and you interrupt him?
You cut him off mid-promo.
Why are you anti-promoting the show?
I was arguing with Bart Scott and Dan Graziano, and they were ticking me off. Because they were talking about how the red zone issues last night are not really emblematic of this Cowboys team of recent, and that it was a September argument. To that point, I said, it's easy to be efficient in the red zone when you're beating up on tomato cans like the Carolina Panthers or the New York Giants. And those are the teams that Dan Graziano was referencing in the 4-game stretch where the Cowboys were 15-22 in the red zone.
Yeah,
the Giants,
Canty.
The Panthers, Commanders, and Seahawks.
That's
what I
great.
Got, I
that's
got
a,
caught
it's
up
an amazing
in that.
Point. You cut off the promo on Get Up to your own show.
But listen, the promo was under my picture when I'm doing my thing.
Yeah,
Get
but
Up.
It's different.
It's different. It's there.
It's totally
and
different.
And it wasn't just me. Why is it just me? Why can't we?
Because we can't blame other people.
We can't blame Bart Scott.
Why
we can't blame
you?
Graziano.
Play it again, and we'll tell you why it's just you. Listen.
I have to let Chris go. Unsportsmanlike ESPN radio.
Great in the red zone. They're 4 of 8 in the red zone.
That's what
this argument will.
That's good.
That's high in the red zone. He couldn't get out radio. He probably would have given the time. And by the way, Cece, you can't say, well, it's underneath me on the screen. Yes, I get it. But we all know the endorsement on radio, the verbal and audio endorsement, is so valuable.
It's a TV show.
It's a TV show, bud.
But it's audio. But no, we had
it's
a
It's not
Greeny,
an endorsement. It's literally on
we
TV.
We had Greeny endorsing Unsportsmanlike.
It's a visual medium.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Greeny, right. It's Greeny doing it. We had the top of the top. We had the top of the food chain. Pat is right on this. The top of the food chain in Mike Greenberg was endorsing Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. And Chris Canty, one of the three hosts of Unsportsmanlike, cut him off. Said, hold on, Greeny. Forget that crap. Let me tell you something about the Dallas Cowboys' red zone efficiency. I mean, Nuno, would you like to weigh in on this?
Yeah, just bad job by you, man.
Oh.
At the end of the day, bad job, bad teammate. Listen.
Wow.
Okay, you went too far. You could have just said the hey, that you should have been
wrong. I got lost in the moment. I lost in the moment like Canty did. I just got lost in the moment. I apologize.
Do you want to hear how the next like 10 seconds of that sounded,
yes,
by the way?
Yes, sure.
Here's how it sounded.
Hi, in a red zone.
In the meantime.
At least the league.
Guys, I have something very important to say.
I apologize.
ESPN Bet.
And then he goes on to plug ESPN.
He had a new endorsement of something else.
He couldn't get them to stop yelling at each other.
So we had First Take on Get Up this morning.
Nice.
That's what happened.
All right. Okay.
I thought that when Greeny said, I have to get back to, I have something important to say, it was going to be unsportsmanlike.
No, Smalls, don't put that on Greeny.
No, but I'm saying that's what I expected.
Yeah.
So we did lose our shot there of our promotion.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's unsportsmanlike moment one. Unsportsmanlike moment two is, speaking of First Take, Shannon Sharp is, of course, on First Take. And I guess it was revealed by Shannon Sharp that he brushes his teeth 7 to 10 times a day.
What?
Now I'm searching for pictures of Shannon Sharp. He has great teeth. But 7 to 10 times a day feels a little much.
Obsessive compulsive?
I'm an over showerer, but I think I brush my teeth in normal. Like I shower.
What is an over shower? Showering a couple times a day? Is that over shower?
At least three every day.
At least three showers.
So here's what it is. Okay.
Oh my God, we're about to experience a drought. Right. Like a water shortage.
Here's what it is.
Between Shannon Sharp brushing his teeth and half a shower three times.
Excessive water.
There's no water in America
anymore.
New York
City, the tri-state area, has a drought.
So here's my shower schedule, if you'd like to know, because I know you were asking.
No, nobody asked about it.
Smalls did. So here's what it is. When I wake up in the morning.
I don't think so.
When I wake up in the morning, I shower before I come here, obviously. Then during the day, I'll do my workout. Then I shower after that, and I have to shower before I go to sleep.
See, that's weird. If you've already showered after you work out, why do you need a before-bed shower?
I don't feel comfortable getting in bed without showering. I need to shower before I go to sleep. That's like a two-second rinse-off kind
of thing. Let me ask you a question. Like, after you work out and then shower, are you then leaving the house again?
Yeah,
I agree with that. Like, so if you leave the house and come back, you have to shower again.
Kid stuff, errands.
That's a rule. Like, if you leave the house, if you go outside of the house and you come back, you have to shower again.
Spoken like two guys who don't have to blow dry their hair.
That's a great point.
No, we don't. But by the way,
that's what I'm saying.
Neither do you. You have people that do that for you now.
Yes, I do.
I'm
just saying.
Only Monday through Friday.
But I don't understand. Brushing your teeth 7 times a day? Who has time for that? I literally don't have time. 7 times you're going to brush your teeth?
He's
very
stop thorough.
What I'm doing. Floss, gargle, brush my teeth. Like, that's a lot.
We should do the Shannon Sharp challenge.
Like I get it. So twice a day, absolutely.
Bare minimum.
That's table stakes. Maybe 3 times, depending on what you have for lunch or dinner.
Correct.
But 7 times? 7?
I think I'm in the 3 range.
Greeny coming up next. We are on to Monday. Enjoy an unbelievable football weekend. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.